Let's bring in our Hollywood guru. He is Michael Warshauer. Michael, thank you for the time today. How are you?
Doing great. As always, happy to talk to you guys.
Well, there's a lot to catch up on today. And I want to begin with this new Jon Stewart production. It's a movie called Irresistible, starring Steve Carell, and it's been pumped up a ton. I mean, we were talking about this before we took that last break, that I feel like I've seen so many previews for that movie that I'm kind of interested in seeing what it's all about. Well, what do you know about this movie?
Well, yeah, it certainly has had a very aggressive advertising campaign as it dropped on video on demand just this past weekend. But it stars Steve Carell as a Democratic political consultant that helps a retired Marine colonel, who's played by Chris Cooper, run for mayor in a small Wisconsin town. Rose Byrne plays a Republican operative who is trying to win the same guy's support and then beat him in an election. Has Mackenzie Davis, Topher Grace, Will Sasso, and Natasha Lyonne as well. So Jon Stewart really got a fantastic cast to go with his second feature, his first being the true drama Rosewater from 2014. So kind of a really on-brand move for him to do a political satire and a political comedy. Unfortunately, it has not really been well-received, certainly by critics. It has only 40% on Rotten Tomatoes and sort of the company line, I guess you could say, across the board from most critics, is that it's just not as funny as you would expect from Jon Stewart. And despite really great performances from Rose Byrne in particular, who I've heard mentioned over and over again for being really great, it seems to be a little bit off from our current moment, that it doesn't quite match up with the politics of 2020 as it might have maybe in 2018 or 2016. And really sort of the consensus is that it doesn't have the sharp bite that the Jon Stewart's version of The Daily Show has. So a little bit of a disappointment there, but I suspect there's still a lot of really great stuff in it. It's still on my list to watch. You really can't go that wrong with a cast that good. There's going to be things that you will enjoy, but it sounds from most critics like it's a little bit of a disappointment from Jon Stewart, but certainly something pretty funny to watch and good to have him back, certainly at a time where his voice would be welcomed.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see what that movie's all about. It's not one of those movies I'm chomping at the bit to see right away, but I am kind of interested to see what the hype is all about, if nothing else. And there's a little bit of hype coming out now about a new version of Pirates of the Caribbean. And this one is more focused on a female cast starring Margot Robbie. What's this all about?
Well, that is about all we know right now. It is in the early development stages, and we know that it is not intended to be a spinoff of the original franchise, but instead a completely new story with entirely new characters, set in the same world, but really with no overlap, no sort of references to Johnny Depp's famous Captain Jack Sparrow. So it will be its own thing. One of the things that I think is pretty exciting and has me looking forward to this, as someone who really wasn't a huge fan of the original franchise, I'm excited to know that it's coming from a writer named Christina Hodson, who has been around for years. But she wrote Birds of Prey with Margot Robbie that came out earlier this summer, and was actually a really surprisingly great, fun action movie, which it was just sort of hallucinatory and wild and really unique. So I'm interested to see a whole new, fresh perspective on the series there. But the other interesting thing is that this is not the only Pirates of the Caribbean reboot that we have. There is actually going to be one coming as well from the original writer, Ted Elliott, as well as the creator of Chernobyl, Craig Maron. They're going to be doing a separate reboot that, we're not sure where that one's going either, but certainly a lot of new movies on the horizon for all of the Pirates of the Caribbean fans.
Well, I'm sort of interested in these new Pirates of the Caribbean movies because I'm there with you. I didn't really get too into the original franchise. I can't really put my finger on what it was that didn't really get me interested in it, but I never got that involved with it. So I am interested in these new movies, despite them being in early development. And something in the closing developments is the month of June. So as we head into the end of the month, what is leaving Netflix, and what could we expect in the month of July?
Well, there's a lot of good stuff coming in July, so I'll start there. One of the first big ones is their big action movie of the summer, kind of like Bird Box last year, is a movie called The Old Guard. It comes out on July 10th. It stars Charlize Theron, who is the head of a group of mercenaries who are all centuries-old immortals with the ability to heal themselves. They discover someone is onto their secret and must fight to protect their freedom. It looks like just a good old run-and-gun action movie. That'll be out July 10th. On July 17th, they have a new series called Cursed, based on the graphic novel by Frank Miller and Tom Wheeler, about a reimagining of the Arthurian legends told through the eyes of Nemu, a young heroine with a mysterious gift who is destined to become the powerful Lady of the Lake. That one looks really good and looks like, certainly for fantasy fans, a big thing to watch. On the 19th, if you missed The Last Dance on ESPN, it will be on Netflix in its entirety, even if you want to rewatch it. It'll be there commercial-free to just kind of breeze through. Then on the 22nd is a new docuseries that I'm really excited for. It's called Fear City, New York versus the Mafia, and it is a true crime docuseries looking into the five mafia families that ruled New York and how they rose to power and then were taken down. And then two returning favorites at the end of the month on the 28th is Last Chance U, the final season that they will be covering football and football players trying to make it into Division I schools and NFL. And going forward, they will start focusing on basketball in Season 6. So that's exciting. And then on July 31st, we have the long-awaited second season of the superhero show, The Umbrella Academy.
Yes!
The first season was a ton of fun, so I'm really excited to have that back here in late summer. So a lot of good things coming on. One of the biggest things that's leaving is a couple TV shows. Cheers is leaving, as is
what?
Mad Men are both leaving Netflix, but you will be able to find Cheers on Peacock, and I believe it is still currently on Amazon. So there's still a lot of good places to find it.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. So, oh, man. See, Cheers is my go-to, man. I tell you, this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people, but, you know, when I was in the hospital, you know, 6 or 7 weeks ago when my wife was getting ready to give birth to our son, you know, you're doing things to try and calm you down, calm her down. I watched Cheers, man. There's nothing more relaxing than watching Cheers. It's one of the greatest shows of all time. But if it's on Amazon, I still have access to it. And you're right, when the Peacock streaming service comes out, I guess I can just watch it on there. But I had a lot of fun watching it on Netflix, that's for sure. What's the Umbrella Academy all about? You got a big old outburst.
Oh,
from
I'm
Rocco
a big Umbrella
here.
Academy fan. I'll let Michael fill you in on that because he's much better at describing TV shows than I. But I'm a huge fan.
Basically, it's about this group of kids that were born mysteriously on the same day at the same time, and all of them have superpowers and were adopted by this wealthy guy who wanted to make them into superheroes. And basically, they all kind of grew up like the Royal Tenenbaums, very like missed potential and never developed into what they were as kids. And now they're all adults, and their adoptive father has died, and they all have to sort of face the world and all of their mysteries without him. It's really entertaining. It's a lot of fun and certainly a very unique take on superhero stories. And, just a ton of fun.
Again, we're being joined on the hotline by Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, I've got to ask you about this Netflix documentary on unsolved mysteries. I grew up watching this show in the 90s. Robert Stack, who unfortunately has since passed, it was a voice that was synonymous with that show. I know he did a few other things, and this is totally opposite end of the spectrum, but I know he did a voiceover for one of the characters in the Beavis and Butthead Do America movie, but he did a lot of things, and Robert Stack's voice was always associated with Unsolved Mysteries. What kind of an angle are they taking with this?
Well, they're actually bringing the whole series back. It is a complete reboot for the streaming era, which is pretty exciting. It's premiering on Wednesday, so we're going to get a look at it here very soon on Netflix. It's 6 episodes in this first season, each about an hour long, and unlike the original format, which sort of focused on a couple different mysteries in each episode, this will do one mystery getting a deep focus in every episode. So it'll be a lot of fun. We'll get these sort of like standalone mini documentaries on really mysterious, weird things. And in memory of Robert Stack, they actually are forgoing a host this time. They didn't think there was anyone that could actually succeed him, so it will be hostless. But Netflix says you can expect the same mix of true crime and paranormal phenomena. This is a show that I always remember growing up watching it, and every time was just like sucked in. So I know Wednesday I will be tuning in on Netflix and watching quite a bit of it and trying to get my head around some of these very bizarre phenomena.
6 episodes, so it'll be very easy to binge your way through that. There's no question. That'll be a lot
Absolutely.
Of fun. A nice return trip to my childhood there, too. We used to watch that show all the time, and then if it was really good, you had a hard time going to sleep later on that night based on some of the things you saw in Unsolved Mysteries. All right, Michael, they hosted the daytime Emmy show from home. My wife and I watched a little bit of the beginning, and it was a little awkward. Is this something you think that shows can do moving forward? I mean, I think we're all hopeful that we won't be living the way we're living right now in the middle of this pandemic, but is this a formula that they could use moving forward?
Well, that seems to be the big question right now, and a lot of the award shows are all going in different directions. Last night was also the BET Awards, and they actually did all their performances were pre-taped and done, with the artists in their own setting with separate crews, so they were able to separate people. They had presenters and segments that were pre-taped or done remotely. So they did kind of a mix of the pre-tape and live stuff, and that seemed to work really well, especially with music. It sort of gives you a chance to do a really polished performance and edit it and make it look pretty cool for TV. So that was certainly one other approach. But just today, just a few hours ago, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that the MTV Video Music Awards are actually going to be held as scheduled at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn this August, but with limited or no audience. So we will, I guess, at this moment, get to see a live award show. I would not be shocked if that changes between now and August, given how in flux everything is. But that certainly seems to be the big question. The Oscars at this point are still planning on going ahead with a ceremony in some capacity, even though it's delayed until later in the spring. But I think a lot of shows are going to struggle with this, and I think we're going to sort of see probably more of what the BET Awards did, with a lot more pre-taped segments, maybe foregoing hosts and doing similar to what Saturday Night Live did, maybe having like someone do an opening monologue or tell jokes that's pre-taped and separate, but really doing as much sort of social distancing and limiting the amount of contact between people is certainly going to be the case with award shows for the foreseeable future. But it's sort of just one of those things that's really up in the air and that everyone is just trying to figure out as things are happening. So it's going to be a very interesting thing to keep an eye on over the next few months.
Absolutely, it is, simply because I think we'd all like to get back to whatever the new normal might be. But, I mean, the award shows, I think, are really tough to pull off under the current conditions, for sure. All right, Michael, we'll wrap up with this week's Picks to Click. What should we be watching this week?
A couple big releases dropping on Friday. First, on Netflix, they are doing a reboot of the classic Babysitter's Club. So For all of the millennials who want to be nostalgic, or for the teens in your life, this is a great show. It's getting really good reviews, so certainly something to look forward to. But the big marquee debut of the week on Friday on Disney Plus is Hamilton. It is finally arriving, a full performance of the original cast doing the massive global hit. So if you haven't seen it, or even if you have and you just want to sing along from the comforts of your own home, this is your chance to finally get to see Hamilton. So a couple big releases, should be fun in between celebrating all weekend.
That's right, because most people will have Friday off, you'd like to think, so the extended holiday weekend will give us plenty of chances to watch a little bit more. Michael, we appreciate the time as always, and we appreciate the insight. Have a great 4th of July weekend, and we'll do this again next week.
Thanks, you guys too.
Thanks, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye.